Welcome to Christ, Culture, and Cinema with the Dr. Jeffrey Skopak and his trusted assistant, Michael Popp, as they explore the intersection of faith, movies, and our contemporary context.
Welcome back to Christ, Culture, and Cinema. How are you doing on this April shower day, Michael?
I'm good. I'm getting ready to celebrate my wife and my son's birthdays. This is always a busy time, the middle of April here for us.
We just got done hosting the pastors and church workers of the lovely Southeastern District of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod at our facility for a celebratory worship service, cocktail hour, and banquet. And I'll use the word banquet. You would not recognize our gym. We even had live entertainment, hired trumpet players for the worship service. It was spectacular and over the top.
I'm not surprised. That's how you roll.
Oh, we didn't mess around. Let me tell you, the food was outstanding. It was one of those events where we left them wanting more. And alas, they are not invited back because I said, you get one. And that was the one.
Yeah, you always say that. We'll see.
Well, I'll tell you what, coming home from an event like that, you're really wound up. You put on television, you just see what movie's on. And what movie just happened to pop on? The Hitman's Bodyguard. And that's the movie we're going to be doing today. We promised you this one. This is a great movie. This is entertaining. It's fun. It's hilarious at points. There's action. It's got a little bit of everything going on in there. This movie came out August 18th of 2017. This was a summer grab for money kind of movie. With a budget, and I found this interesting, Michael, it had a budget range of 30 to 69 million. I never know what that means. When give or take 39 million, that's a lot of cash. I'm just saying.
That's somebody that's obviously too lazy to find out what it really is or just afraid. I had the estimated 30. That's what it said in IMDb.
So something tells me it was north of 30, but nobody's really sure.
No.
And a box office return, a neat and tidy little box office return of $183.4 million.
Yeah.
And that doesn't surprise me. It's that kind of movie. It's going to attract. I think this is very much a guy's kind of movie. Not that I'm going to kind of stereotype types of movies, but this one definitely has a more masculine appeal in my estimation.
Well, I mean, we're talking about Samuel Jackson. We're talking about guns and drugs. I mean, Ryan Reynolds, he would. It's fine, men and women, whatever, they all love him. But Samuel Jackson's kind of a guy's guy. I mean, most of his movies, there's some guns. You think Pulp Fiction or Mace Windu when he's a Jedi. You know, he is a guy's actor.
Yes, for sure. Now, the director was Patrick Hughes, and Patrick Hughes has done a couple of these movies now. He's done The Hitman's Wife's Bodyguard. That follows this movie. And he did The Expendables 3. We've yet to do The Expendables. And I think we're going to have to sneak that one in this season. I'm just saying, I like The Expendables.
You threaten it.
I keep, and you know, I keep doing that, but I think we're going to do it. I think it has to make its way in here.
Did you see The Man from Toronto?
I have not seen it. It's one I do want to see.
Yeah, I mean, Woody Harrelson and Kevin Hart, what's not to love? But I haven't seen it.
Right, right, for sure. Yeah, I mean, it seems to have all the right people in it. It seems like a movie that would have some appeal to us, and I just haven't seen it yet. So we're going to have to check that one out. Let's talk about the cast, shall we? Now, this particular cast is, like you said, it's a guy's kind of cast. And playing the hitman, Darius Kincaid, is the incomparable, I've been in every movie, Samuel L. Jackson. And today, because we have him pop up so often, I just wanted to mention a few of the movies that I just think define him. Pulp Fiction, Snakes on a Plane, mm-hmm. Kill Bill Volume 2. He has such a bit role, but that's where he started with all these kind of bit roles where, hey, wait a minute, that's Samuel L. Jackson over there. The Hateful Eight, Shaft, The Kingsman, and we've yet to do this, but I think we're going to have to slip this one in this season to the movie Argylle. There's a lot of people in that movie.
Man, you want to.
We've got to check that
a lot
one
in,
out.
Though.
Yeah.
That's a lot of people.
Yeah, for sure. How about you with Samuel L.? What do you see? Anything that you want to mention there? I mean, we know he's Mace Windu, and we can just go on and on with what he's been in.
I think my favorite is when, well, I love The Incredibles, you know that, Frozo. Yeah. But I think you and I talked about when somebody asks if there's one actor and their movies are the only ones you ever get to watch the rest of your life. When somebody brought up Samuel L. Jackson, I thought, that's crazy. And then you start to look at the, like I said, the Tarantinos, the just so much. I mean, Goodfellas, so he had that bit role. You know, I mean, there's just so much he's done that all of a sudden you start looking at his body of work. I mean, he's got 207 acting credits.
You know,
he's
got
eight coming up.
They used to talk about the 7 degrees of separation from Kevin Bacon. I bet you could do 2 to 3 degrees of separation from Samuel L. Jackson.
Yeah, probably.
I think we could do that. I really do. So, let's talk about the bodyguard, Michael Bryce, played by, one of those unique actors in Hollywood, Ryan Reynolds. I mean, he's just unique. He's hilarious as a snarky, sarcastic, funny guy, but plays some serious roles as well. You know, his big movie's coming out this summer, Deadpool 3, but he is Deadpool, and he's just owned that role.
Yeah.
We covered him in Bullet Train. We loved him in Bullet Train. He was brilliant in that. The Adam Project, which is a Netflix movie. Here's one I had no idea. He was an uncredited actor in a movie we have to do one of these days, A Million Ways to Die in the West. He is the first guy killed by Clinch in the bar in A Million Ways to Die in the West. I had no idea. Now I got to go back and watch that.
So we obviously, he's great. There's a lot I haven't seen him in yet, but
yeah,
he's got 12 upcoming credits coming. I mean, you know, IMDb. Yeah.
He's
hot. And you'd mentioned Deadpool 3. They have it as Deadpool and Wolverine.
Yes.
Okay. But he's in Clue, upcoming movie. He's redoing Clue with Jason Bateman. You know, I love Jason Bateman. Those two will be good together.
That's going to be hilarious.
With Samuel L.
Oh, no.
I got to be very careful how I say this. Father Mucka.
Oh, I saw that.
Yeah. Got to make sure. I know it's a Samuel L. Jackson one, but they play voices. I don't know if it is animated because it's just his voices, but the only thing they show in this TV series is Ryan Reynolds and Samuel L. Jackson so far.
Yeah, I saw the title and I'm like, I can't write that down because if I mess that one up, then all of a sudden we can't put this down as clean.
I know podcasts have the ability, but I'd rather not.
Okay, and I'm going to threaten it. I'm going to threaten it now. Here it comes.
Uh-oh.
Ryan Reynolds is Green Lantern. We've talked about people who have been in Green Lantern, but he is Green Lantern. And it was so bad. Oh, terrible.
I haven't seen it. I always listen to these.
I'm going to make you see it because I've got my pen in my hand and I'm going to write down Green Lantern with Argylle.
No,
you may have to do it. I'm writing it right now. You can hear the pen on the paper that we may be doing Green Lantern as to why was it such a bad movie?
I want you to put down Spirited for Christmas next year.
Spirited's already in. Yeah, well, you chose Office Christmas Party. We do have to remind us of all that. And that was a worthy movie. So moving on, let's the villain in the movie, Vladislav Dukovich, played by the man of a million characters, Gary Oldman. Good. He's so good. The Dark Knight series, you know, the Christopher Nolan Batman, he's in those. Phenomenal. He was just in Oppenheimer where he played Harry Truman.
We saw him last week. We talked about him, yeah.
We had him as Winston Churchill in The Darkest Hour, Academy Award winning performance. Dawn of the Planet of the Apes. How about, you know, we've talked about him, Sirius Black in Harry Potter. I mean, you can't imagine.
Oh, he was great.
He's the same guy that plays Winston Churchill. I mean, it's incredible. He is such a good, diversified actor. I think you can drop him in just about any role, and you will not be disappointed.
And he does not just take anything. Mm-mm. I mean, as many as he's done, he's only got 105 credits. I would have assumed a lot more. But he's very careful about what he does. But again, I think I mentioned it last week, you know, doing Sid Vicious back in 86 as Sid Nancy.
Oh, yeah.
The JFK, Lee Harvey Oswald. I mean, he has played Dracula in Bram Stoker's Dracula. I mean, he has really taken on some tough roles, and he's great.
Yeah, he doesn't mess around. Let's face it. He is one of the Hollywood gems that's underrated.
His best credit, 1994, Guns N' Roses music video for Since I Don't Have You, he played the devil.
Wow.
There we go.
Wow. There you go. And he also plays somewhere along the line, I believe, Judas Iscariot as one of the disciples of Jesus in the Jesus movie. It's like, good heavens, what role won't he embrace is beyond me. Now, playing Amelia Russell in the movie is Elodie Yoon. And I bring her up because she's one of the, you know, one of the action people in this movie. We know her really from Daredevil on television now, the cable series Daredevil, which is excellent, way better than the movie Daredevil. G.I. Joe Retaliation, The Gods of Egypt, Girl with the Dragon Tattoo. She's been in a lot of good stuff.
Love that one.
Especially as the action genre goes. I mean, that's definitely her field, so to speak. Playing Seifert, Richard Grant, older movie, Hudson Hawk, great one, Saltburn, Star Wars Episode 9, he's in Logan, which, oh, by the way, is the Wolverine, he's in Argyle, there you see, there it is again, Argyle, who is not in this movie Argyle? And why haven't we done it yet is really, I think, the burning question now, isn't it?
I think that's why you put it down.
Yeah. Now, everyone else in the movie, they're kind of fly in, fly out characters, shoot 'em up, shoot 'em out characters. The only one I would mention is Professor Asimov, played by Rod Hallett, only because he's in some great television right now, great cable series, The Last Kingdom, The Tudors, Crisis, and then he was in the movie Ant-Man. So he made it into the MCU. But I don't know if there's anyone else you want to mention about this movie that's in it, but there's so many, and many of them have Eastern European names. I'll just throw one out there as an example. Playing Ivan, nice, easy name, right? Is Yuri Kolokolnikov. The fact that I can pronounce Kolokolnikov.
It's easy for you to say.
You know, that's my Ukrainian roots yearning, I guess. I don't know. He's only been in a handful of English-speaking movies. Most of his movies are Eastern European movies. So I don't even know what they are or what they're about, but we know he's out there in that world, and there's several of them in this movie. So that's what I've got. Do you have anyone else you want to add?
Nope.
Wow, I like that. Short, sweet, to the point. Let's talk about The Hitman's Bodyguard. You know, the movie opens up, and there's Michael Bryce. He's out on a runway, and he is escorting as the bodyguard of a international arms dealer, an Asian gentleman, I believe Chinese, Takashi Kurosawa, back to his airplane. And they're smiling. There's no one out there. He bows to him. He turns around, and all of a sudden, you hear the gunshots, and he's dead. His man that he was to be guarding dies as he is walking onto the plane. And that sends poor Michael Bryce into bodyguard exile. He's lost his A rating. The whole movie is kind of driven by this bodyguard rating system where he's not the bodyguard of the year. He loses his A rating. So now he's going to have to slum it a little bit. And he's ends up protecting kind of drug dealers and the like. His career is kind of on the outs. Running parallel to this story is Vladislav Dukovich, who is the vicious dictator of Belarus, who's on trials for crimes against humanity at the International Criminal Court at The Hague. And there is one who has testimony that can imprison him, that being Darius Kincaid, the hitman, played by Samuel L. Jackson. And Kincaid basically has to dodge all these assassination attempts and enter into the picture his bodyguard, Michael Bryce, trying to reclaim his career and protect this hitman. And I think this is really the unique part about this movie. Now, this is the dynamic of Samuel L. Jackson and Ryan Reynolds, Darius Kincaid and Michael Bryce trying to work together, trying to learn how to tolerate each other, because these are about as opposite of people as you're going to find. Michael Bryce is very by the book. He's very straight laced, but he has, of course, Ryan Reynolds' incomparable snarky sense of humor. On the other hand, you have Samuel L. Jackson, who's rough, who's raw, who's a hitman. And Darius has to depend upon Michael to keep him alive. And that's kind of where we can maybe launch and talk about what do we see in this movie. What is it, Michael, that you see in this dynamic of this relationship between Darius and Michael Bryce?
Well, it's not like we have a lot of general knowledge in the world of bodyguards. You know, we don't live in a world, or we don't have an occupation where there's a need for bodyguards all the time and what their job is. You know, my knowledge is limited to Kevin Costner protecting Whitney Houston. You know, I don't know a whole lot about that world. But what we do know is pastors. We're constantly helping people try to find what their God-given gifts and abilities are. Everybody has them. And you think about what would your test look like if you had the fortitude to be a bodyguard? You know, what is it that you have to do? What is it that you've done? What does your psyche have to be that you're willing to do?
Yeah. Yeah.
And so it's kind of an interesting idea, especially the idea of if your job is to protect somebody you don't care to protect.
Yeah.
You know, or aren't connecting with.
Let's take this down, you know, even a little deviant road on this, but having to, in this case, Michael Bryce has to protect somebody who really doesn't like him very much.
No.
You know, barely can tolerate him. In fact, when they go to rescue Darius Kincaid's wife, played by Salma Hayek, and she has a small role in this movie, will eventually do the hitman's wife's bodyguard, and that's where she has a very dominant role.
Huge role.
But even there, she tries to at least, you know, acknowledge that Michael Bryce is trying to help him and is trying to care for him. And Darius doesn't want to embrace that. And yet Michael Bryce is devoted to protecting this man, to carrying out his duties, even though this person is not kind to him, nice to him, respectful to him and his skills. I love when they're in the parking garage. And they're looking at the cars. They're going to steal a car and go. And, you know, there's a Jaguar. There's a Mercedes AMG. There's a BMW racing class M series. And Michael Bryce is like, oh, those are all lovely cars. And then they take like the Ford Escort because it's not flashy and won't be seen. You know, of course, there's always a funny scene after that where he immediately crashes the Ford Escort. But Michael Bryce doesn't back down from what is necessary to protect Darius. I think this takes us down kind of an interesting road. How do you work with people that you can't necessarily stand? How do you get along with people that they just rub you the wrong way? How do you continue to do your task, follow through on your job, perform with excellence when that person that you are working with or the people you're working with are rebellious?
Yeah, I think we've seen a change in society there. You know, we grew up in a day and age where you respected every adult because they were the adult. And I see a generation of kids growing up where if they don't feel respected, they're not going to give you respect. It's almost that instead of doing to others as you want to have done to you, do unto others as you think they're doing to you. You know, it's this change of the golden rule. And I think it's now permeated into where that's, we're seeing that in the workplace, we're seeing it different ways. And so that's certainly an issue that all of us, I think about the way the position of president was always respected.
Yeah.
Regardless of whether you elect him or not, regardless of whether you agree with him or not, there was always a level of respect for the president. And over the last two presidents, that's gone. It's absolutely gone. Well, if it's not your guy, there's no respect anymore.
You know, pick up on that biblical ideal that you kind of threw out there. You have the this notion of, you know, a person isn't willing to lay down their life for another person. I mean, even Jesus says, you know, maybe for a good person, someone might dare to die. Michael Bryce embraces this very biblical principle of this is his job. This is his task. He will honor it and fulfill it in spite of Darius Kincaid and his constant warring and ebbing against the quality and the precision by which he is carrying out his protection.
Right.
And I think that happens in the, you know, even within the confines of community, and let's get more specific, Christian community. How quickly do people scorch earth other people, even within the confines of the church, where, you know, we're not following this notion of a golden rule of this, you know, as I call it, you know, as it's called, the great commandment to love one another as I have loved you. That's that sacrificial love. That's that, you know, I'm going to love you sometimes in spite of you kind of love. And we see this in this movie. Michael is doing this, and it takes an entire movie for Darius to start coming around and realizing what this bodyguard is really doing for him. It takes an entire movie in order for Darius to kind of wake up and realize, huh, this guy may be annoying, but this guy is fulfilling his task and is honoring his commitment for protecting him.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's what I see here.
Yeah, it's definitely the give and take. You've got two very different actors who play off each other very well. I mean, that part makes it a fun movie. They're neat characters. But let's face it, when you have two people who think they know what they're doing and they don't always see eye to eye, that can be a very uncomfortable situation. And the movie uses that tension very well for comedic reasons.
Oh, for sure. There's no doubt. And I would have never put Samuel L. Jackson and Ryan Reynolds together as the lead actors in a movie and expected such a comic, action-packed thrill ride that we receive in this movie. It's way more than I would have anticipated.
True.
Sure. I go back to the movie, you know, when we did Bullet Train, where he had kind of a bit piece in Bullet Train there. But, you know, I could see him, you know, with the other actors and actresses in that. I can see it in Deadpool, you know, how he's kind of that stand-up. Ryan Reynolds is that kind of in the front guy. In this movie, he has to take a side, you know, he has to take a parallel seat, so to speak, with Samuel L. Jackson. And there is, I think, a genuine, you know, we'll go off script a little bit, but I think within these two actors, you saw a genuine admiration for what each one brings to the story. And they play off of that so richly in this movie that they figure out a way to really respect and honor and enhance each other's performance in this movie. They're definitely a team. There's no doubt they understood the concept of team in this movie.
Which is why there was a sequel.
Almost immediately, which I think I like the sequel even more than the original. This is one of those where we'll do the, we could have done these two movies together to be sure, but I would like to do the sequel kind of standing alone, because I think the sequel's got great value and merit all on its own, and it puts a great spotlight on Selma Hayek's character along with Samuel L. Jackson. You have the, all of a sudden, the tension of their love for each other, And oh, by the way, Michael Bryce, and he's not a third wheel in the relationship, which is brilliantly done in that particular movie.
Yeah, definitely. And we'll do it because, again, the kicker there, first one, we think 30 million, made almost 200. Second one was 70 million to make, and it made 70. So it's definitely one we want to do. Movies that failed to make money.
You kind of wonder, but I don't think people understood the nature of a comedy action thriller, because that's what this is. Let's call it what it is. The Hitman's Bodyguard is a comedy action movie thriller. You're not really sure the twists and turns it's going to take along the way. And you never know what's going to come next in this movie. And I think that's why I enjoy it so much. I can go back, watch it again. And there's a lot of things I didn't catch the first time. Because Ryan Reynolds is so stinking quick. And Samuel L. Jackson gives him the space to do that. And when Samuel L. Jackson does his normal in-your-face Samuel L. Jackson, Ryan Reynolds is excellent at stepping back to allow that to play itself out in the movie. There's a real sense of camaraderie that we see in this movie. And I think not only is the golden rule ultimately achieved by the end of the movie when he gets him to The Hague to stand trial, you know, to give testimony and the like, but I think we really do see it amongst the two actors. I could be dead wrong, but I think it's there.
Well, I think one thing we fail to do, we a lot of times will give a spoiler alert. Mm-hmm. This isn't a spoiler alert, no spoiler alerts, but it is a warning. One thing, when you said you don't know what's coming next, we do know one thing that's always coming next out of Samuel L. Jackson's mouth.
Oh, for sure.
And if you are offended by foul language, especially the F word, you should not watch this movie. And I didn't really think about it until I went through the quotes in IMDb, and every one of Darius Kincaid's quotes usually has an MF in it. So it's like, hey, it's Samuel L. Jackson at what he became known for.
Yeah, well, and he uses it like a love language.
I'm surprised Mace Windu's never dropped it.
That's the one place that he hasn't. But he's been thinking it the entire time.
Yeah. Everybody's adding their own.
So I think this brings us to our question of the day. When you find yourself having to work with people that may not honor you, respect you, may not be following your lead or trusting in your direction, you know, how do you marshal through that? How do you remain faithful to your calling, faithful to where God has placed you to work with those folks so that maybe just eventually through leading, through loving, through serving, that they see the joy that is yours in bringing all to the table that you bring. And I think we see that in this movie with Michael Bryce. We see how he wins Darius Kincaid over. And I pray that is something that you're able to do in your life as well. Now, if you're enjoying Christ Culture and Cinema, consider leaving a rating, a review. Always share the podcast. That's how people find us. You know, there's always movement, by the way, Michael, in podcast land. You know, our dominant platform is Apple Podcasts because most people these days are in the United States at least have an Apple phone. But we've had people listening on Google Podcasts, and that's going bye-bye. So I'm trying to learn the Samsung world a little bit, the other platform world, so we can help direct people to some of those other places. I mean, Spotify is always great, but you got to have a subscription to Spotify. So where are some of the free places to find us? We're going to put a list together on that.
I thought Spotify was free. No?
No.
That's am I paying for that? Oh, yeah. Boy, I don't want to pay for that. No,
you need that app where it gets rid of all your subscription services. Yeah. Yeah, no, that's
I have it. I got to use it.
Oh, good Lord. Yeah, you're paying for that, my friend. And don't forget the book, Christ Culture and Cinema, How Faith and Film Intersect. It's a great way to kind of delve into the movies a little bit. I've got some helpful things in the back of that book. You can find that book on Amazon. Now, next time we're going to take a turn to, I think, a critically important movie as we look at cultural relevance of films. Because it addresses some things going on in our society today. And I think we've got a fairly unique way of looking at this movie. It's a Steve Carell movie. It didn't necessarily do well in the box office. In fact, it kind of tanked in the box office. And it's, you don't even find it playing on the cable channels. You got to go looking for it. But next time we're going to look at this very important movie, in my estimation. We're going to watch Welcome to Marwen. Until next time, we'll see you at the movies.
Thank you for joining us for Christ, Culture, and Cinema with the Dr. Jeffrey Skopak and his assistant, Michael Popp. Until next time, we'll see you at the movies.